The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome. This is Grace in Focus from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are so glad you've joined us. Today's question, does the Bible ever say that we should ask for the gift of eternal salvation or ask to be born again? Bob Wilkin and Lucas Kitchen will have an interesting discussion about this in the moments ahead. Stay tuned. After their discussion, I'll tell you more about the Grace Evangelical Society and Grace in Focus. Right now, here are Bob and Lucas with Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Whether you're driving your car or working out on the treadmill or you're out jogging on the street or just listening in your study, we're glad to have you. And I'm here with Lucas Kitchen. Welcome, Lucas.
Hey, Bob. I loved all of those options for where people are listening. Yeah. There's a lot of imagery in
Did
there.
I get most of them?
Well, you know, I think you pretty much
touched
them all.
They may be in the kitchen cooking.
But
or
what
something.
If there's an astronaut in the International Space Station listening?
See, welcome to those of you in outer space.
Yeah, and please send us an email. We want to know. Radio at faithalone.org. Yeah.
Okay. Well, here's a question from Amanda, and this is a very good question. Amanda says, what if a person believes that they are born again by asking for eternal life? Is God going to refuse a person who says, please give me eternal life, even if they don't believe that simply by faith in Jesus they're born again? They think it's by some other method, but they have asked for eternal life. And so what do we say about that? And my suggestion would be that asking for eternal life is actually found in John chapter 4.
I'm pulling that up right now.
All right. Because John 4 is about the woman at the well, right? And Jesus asks her for a drink. The disciples go to McDonald's to get him a Big Mac. And while they're gone, he's talking with this woman. And of course, Jewish men did not talk to women, and they didn't talk to Samaritans for sure. Yeah. But he's actually initiating the conversation. And it becomes an evangelistic conversation. So where is it that talks about asking?
It looks like verse 10 to me.
All right, how about reading that one?
Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Now notice how he turns the tables. He asks her for a drink, but then he says, you should ask me for a drink.
Yeah.
Now what is the gift of God here? He says, if you knew the gift of God... Does he go on to explain what the gift of God is?
Well, I think he does, actually. 13, 14?
Yeah.
It says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water, and so here I think it is, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life.
Now, I used to think what he was saying is the living water is everlasting life.
I used to think that too.
Yeah.
You convinced me otherwise.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, Hodges convinced me, yeah. Zane Hodges. What he pointed out is in verse 14, he says that water will spring up into a fountain of everlasting life. So the water is not everlasting life. The water is the message that results in someone having everlasting life. So the water is the message of John 3:16.
Now let's explain that. We're talking about a metaphor.
Right.
The living water.
A metaphor is a figure of speech.
Yeah, and so if the living water is everlasting life, what he's saying is everlasting life will result in everlasting life. Or it'll spring up into everlasting life.
Right.
So therefore, what is then the metaphor? What does the metaphor mean then?
The metaphor means that the living water is the message that Jesus is the Messiah who guarantees everlasting life to all who believe in him.
Right, okay.
And by the way, that fits in with John 20:31. These things I've written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What's interesting is in verse 10, he said two things. If you knew the gift of God, and what else?
And who it is who says to you, give me a drink.
So, the gift and the giver.
Yeah.
The gift is everlasting life. And by the way, it's a gift. That's important. And the giver is Jesus the Messiah. He says you would have asked. Well, the asking is not asking for everlasting life.
I see. Yeah,
the asking is the asking for what is this living water? What is it I need to partake of? And by the way, what's interesting is after verse 14, like Nicodemus, who thinks he needs to go in his mother's womb and be born a second time, he's thinking in physical terms, she is too. Verse 15, the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." She's saying, wouldn't that be cool? I wouldn't ever have to drink water again. I'd be done. She gets the fact that it's permanent. What she doesn't get the fact is he's talking about everlasting life. So the discussion goes on. He points out to her that she's had five husbands and that the guy she's currently living with isn't even her husband. She's kind of blown away by this, and she says, we know when Messiah comes, he'll tell us all things. And what's his response?
Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
Hodges argues, and I think he's right, that verse 25 is her asking.
Oh, well, let's read that then. The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." It does sort of feel like it's implying a question there.
Right. She's basically saying, are you the Messiah?
Guy? Yeah, are you the one we're waiting
for? Because he told her about things he couldn't possibly know about her. So she says, could you be the Messiah?
Yeah.
So in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God, she's now grasped that that's what he's offering is everlasting life.
Yep.
And who it is that says to you, give me a drink. She recognizes this Jesus may be the Messiah. You would then ask him. And so she's saying, are you the Messiah? And are you saying that if I believe in you, I have everlasting life?
Yeah.
And he says, yes, I who speak to you am he. What she does at this point, she leaves her water pot. Some commentators have pointed out that the water pot had the old water, the non-living water. She's leaving her old religion behind.
Yeah, the old stagnant.
The old stagnant. And she's going to talk to the men of the village to tell them to ask for the living water. So to come back to Amanda's question, if I ask for everlasting life, what I'm saying is, Lord, give me the saving message.
Yeah.
That doesn't save me to ask for the saving message.
Yeah.
Now the question is, will I be open when I start getting further revelation? Because God's going to give me more truth if I ask for it.
Yeah.
So if I'm open and I say, God, I would like everlasting life, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Now, if someone thinks that magically by saying the words, give me everlasting life, that I'm getting it, God's not obligated to give them any more truth. But if they're saying by that, I don't know what I need to do to have everlasting, please tell me.
Yeah.
God is obligated because he said that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Yeah.
And that if we grope after him, we're going to find him, Acts 17:27. And he's told us to ask, seek, and knock, you know, Matthew 7:7-11. And so the whole point of all of this is it's fine to ask for God to reveal the truth to us. But there's no magic prayer that we pray to get everlasting life.
Yeah, so it feels like what you're saying is a question for everlasting life in the right context is preparatory in a way. It's preparing the person for recognizing the saving message. It might be like saying, you know, I want lunch. Could you give me lunch? What you could respond with is telling me where I can go get lunch.
Right.
You know, so you give me the information I need to, you know, to receive it. And so for Jesus and the woman at the well, I think it's a really great model. However, what I do see in the modern world is a lot of evangelists who use an ask model for their salvation invitations at the end of messages and things. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
So like, how would you respond to those types of things? Because they get into the same kind of territory that we're talking about here, where it's asking for salvation. Because like the sinner's prayer, for instance, has a type of pitch and ask in it, you know, like I'm pitching that, look, I'm confessing that I've sinned. And now would you give me the thing you said you'd give me? So what's your response to that type of approach?
Yeah. And when you say, would you give me the thing you're asking, that shows a lack of faith.
Yeah.
Because actually, when I believe, I know I have it.
Yeah.
Right. At that moment, I have believed. And once I've believed, I've received.
Yeah.
I've received the gift of everlasting life. For 3 years while I was in the doctoral program at Dallas Seminary, I pastored a small church in Louisville, Texas called Lake Cities Bible Fellowship. Myself and this friend of mine that was helping with music, we met with all of the children in the church between about age 5 and age 18. I would ask them what they believed a person needed to do to be guaranteed to be with Christ forever, to escape eternal condemnation. And I remember I was talking to two sisters. We talked to them separately, and both of them said, when my parents explained to us what we needed to do to be saved, and they said we needed to invite Jesus into our hearts. Mm, so we did. We invited Jesus into our heart. And I said, so why should that give you salvation? They said, I don't know. So then I explained John 3:16 to them, and they were like, wow, you mean it's just about believing in him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not about inviting him in. No. And they believed, and they came to faith. I saw that with many of the children that we talked to. The promises to whoever believes in him. And they had to get around the fact that it seemed too easy. Right? Don't people call this easy believism sometimes? Yeah. Or
I'm
cheap
glad
grace?
It's easy.
Yeah. But it's really not easy, I don't think, Lucas, because if it was so easy, wouldn't everybody believe it?
Yeah.
But the truth is almost nobody believes it.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you find people who believe the free gift of everlasting life.
Yeah.
We're in a big minority.
Yeah.
And I don't know what percentage. I remember my friend Bob Swift, he told me one time, he says, Bob, you can't say only 10% of people in Christianity are born again. You can't go out and do a survey of all people who are professing Christians and determine, therefore, that X percentage of those are born again. And he said the reason why is you don't know how many of those believed in the past and have become confused.
Yeah.
Now, we can say the way is narrow that lead to life and few find it, and that suggests it's less than 50%, and it's probably some smaller percentage. But we really don't know. And so all we say is, it's whoever believes.
Yeah.
But the truth is, if you talk to most professing Christians today, you'll find out our position is a big minority position.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that it's heaven that keeps the ledger, so to speak. And we don't, you know, our goal is to clarify and to help people see.
Yeah, what did we call the ledger?
Well, I think it might be called the book of
life.
Well, thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. If you want to go deeper on any of these issues, you can go to faithalone.org. Let's keep Grace in Focus.
Thank you both for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, are all able to become believers in Christ, or do you have to be selected? Please join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.